This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email me still, edit whatever you want. Love, hate, death threats, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Let's get into some serious questions. That was a lot of debt talk. That was a lot of debt talk. Jesse, my wife and I are at odds, and it's starting to affect our relationship. You see, she doesn't have the faith I do in the unseen. I fully believe that Chris is real, and she thinks he's nothing more than your imaginary Jewish friend that you've had since childhood. My latest thought to prove that I'm right is that there might be a chance that he's shown up on the simulcast. Although we're very cheap, which Chris should appreciate, we'd spring for that if I could be proven right. Am I onto something here? I love the show. Thanks for all you do. Is the simulcast, do they charge for the simulcast? They do? How much is it? I don't even know. But Michael, how much is, do we know how much the simulcast is? It is my simulcast. I should probably find out about that. But anyway, Chris, he can't show up at the simulcast, on the simulcast, for a very specific reason. Chris is ugly, right? And what, Chris? It's fine. And he's in a totally different room. We can't have him in here. He's in his nerd room. Chris and Michael have this room for nerds. There's all these computers and I seriously think they have like 7 computers in there and laptops, and they do all these nerd things in there. And they don't really come in here very much unless they come in. What, Chris? What? 6 computers? I wasn't kidding. They have 6 computers. Okay, they have 6 computers in the room. Just stay out of my studio, and I'll stay out of your nerd room. Dear Senior Shogun, what kind of televised political ads do you think work the best, if you think they work at all? Some of them are so corny with the music and dramatic injury they come off as comical. Would an attack ad that calmly lays out issues accurately and succinctly be more effective? Well, this goes into the mind of the voter, and I've always found this to be fascinating, but it's true. We wouldn't ever have, you realize this? Wrap your mind around this. This is probably going to make you mad. You know that we would never have political ads on TV or YouTube or however you would, you know we'd never have them. They would never be there if everyone was like you. You realize that? If everybody sought out information, inform themselves on the candidates and the issues and everything else like you do, that there would be no need for political ads. I have no doubt right now that you have already decided 100% who you're voting for in the coming GOP presidential primary. And I bet you money, if I asked you, you could lay out for me exactly why you're voting for this person, whoever that person is. And you have your reasons, and I bet you they're good reasons. I bet you they're good reasons. What, Chris? You're voting for Chris Christie? Don't tell lies, Chris. You'd never vote for that turd. Anyway, I guarantee that. But most people aren't like you. Most people are Norm or Norma, and they don't pay attention. Now let's get to the political ad portion of it. Remember yesterday when I mocked everybody because it said 86% of Americans want to cut government spending? But they don't actually want to cut government spending. If you brought up any program to them and said, should we cut this? They would all say, oh my gosh, no. So they don't actually want that. They think they want that. There's another thing people think that's not true. People think they don't like negative political ads and negative political campaigns. I can't count how many people, including in my time running for office and now, will come to me and they'll say something to the effect of, I hate all this negative campaigning. Maybe you've said something like this. I hate how negative the campaign is. I hate how mean everyone is. Why can't I just tell me what you stand for? I don't want to hear what you stand against. That doesn't work for me. Well, here's the thing. Yes, it does. It does. That's why they do it. That's why they spend millions of dollars attacking each other. As we speak right now, Ron DeSantis is spending millions of dollars attacking Donald Trump in swing states. Donald Trump is spending millions of dollars attacking Ron DeSantis in swing states. Why are those two guys who want to be your next GOP nominee, why are they spending millions of dollars attacking each other? Why do they do that? Because it works! We don't want it to work. We, you know what this is? This is you and me. I blame myself too. We want to think better of ourselves than we actually should. Advertising doesn't work for me. Ooh, that looks like a good pizza on that TV commercial. Man, I am kind of in. Dang, it has been a while since I've had a Meat Lovers. Hey, free breadsticks. You know what? Let's get a pizza. Call Pizza Hut. It works. People advertise because it works. When they drive around those cars in NASCAR, Chris was asking me some stupid NASCAR question before the segment, but when they drive those NASCAR cars around the track and they have all the different things on them, oh, look at the M&M's Home Depot car. Oh, that's so stupid. Why do they do that? It works. Have you seen these big sports stadiums now? How they're all named after a gigantic corporation. Look, it's Mercedes Arena. It's T-Mobile Center. It's this or that. Why would they do that? Do you have any idea what these corporations pay for the naming rights of these places? It's not 50 cents, $100 million, $200 million, $300 million. I want this to be the Jesse Kelly Center. Well, why in the world would I pay $200 million to name some big basketball arena a Jesse Kelly Center? Because it works. Negative campaign ads are effective. If it was only you, yes, we could have just a campaign where, hey, my name's Bob, and here's what I think about taxes and abortion. Vote for me. Anyway, that's all. We could do that. But because the population doesn't work that way, we get what we get. Now, as far as the campaign ads go, the quality of them, you get what you pay for. Some of the best advice I got back when I was running for Congress, and maybe I know we have some people flirting with that kind of thing out there right now, but remember I told you I got to know Duncan Hunter really well, Duncan Hunter Sr. In case you don't know who that is, Duncan Hunter Sr., war hero, Vietnam vet, and long-serving congressman out of California, San Diego area, Southern California. Freaking cool dude. I got to know him through a guy because I knew a guy who knew a guy. And he found out I was a Marine Corps infantry guy, and he was an infantry guy. He found out I was an infantry guy running for Congress in Arizona. So he jumped in, started helping me, flew out, tried to help me raise money and stuff like that. And he told me, Jesse, take all this money you're raising and spend it all on the best TV ads you can buy and buy all TV with it. Because I ran a really lean campaign. I didn't believe in spending a bunch of money. I've tried to maximize people's money. It's people's hard-earned money. I try to maximize it. He said, blow it all on TV. I said, what are you talking about? He said, buy quality ads and blow them all on TV. When people watch TV and they see a quality ad, one, they think you're a celebrity because you're on TV, and two, they notice the quality and it's effective. But people try to save money when it comes to campaigning. You go with some bargain basement TV company, you're going to get a bargain basement ad. So there's a little inside baseball on that stuff. Oracle. How come we can't get a charismatic Republican leader to campaign from the center and talk about bringing the country together just like the communists do, lie about our real stance on the issues, and then once we get Normie Norm to vote for us in, take full power and start legislating and pushing seriously far-right agenda? Isn't that what the communists always do? Why can't we do that? Well, that is what the communists have always done. They do this routinely. Well, Obama was the one who really, really mastered this. People forget because all we see now when we look back is an 8-year communist president who spent 8 years filling up this federal government with more commie nutballs than we can count. We just have this horrible negative review of Obama. Rightfully so, he's a terrible president. But we forget how far to the right he sounded when he was campaigning. When I remember it like it was yesterday, Obama would give answers. He gave a speech. I believe the convention was in Denver. Gosh, I'm such a freaking nerd that I remember that. But I believe his convention speech was in Denver. And Obama, who's the most baby-murdering, abortion-loving president we've ever had in this country, he had a line about abortion in there. You know how passionate I am about that the other way. He had a line in there that had me going, you know, that's a good point. Actually, that's a good point there. I hate him, but that was a good point. Totally down the middle. Wow, I believe it was something along the lines of, I think we can all agree we want fewer abortions and things like that. And I was sitting there, you know, hardcore Jesse thinking, yeah, we do. Good call, Barack. It's not like I voted for him, but he campaigned in the middle and then governed like the America-hating nutball he is. But the problem is this. Oh, yeah, Chris. Oh, yeah, play it. Yeah, there's Barack Obama.
I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Yeah. Ended up being hardcore left on that issue, which he spouts about today. But that will work for them, and it won't work for us. And I'll explain why in a minute. But before I explain that, let me explain this. We have to take steps. We went over a whole hour of what's coming with the debt crisis whenever it gets here. If there's a recession with it, if there's not, if there's austerity measures, if there's not. And remember, these things are not coming 50 years from now. These things are, you will experience these in your lifetime. Have you taken gold or silver? I don't care what it is. I'm not in love with gold. I'm not in love with silver. I'm in love with reliability. Do you have some in your physical possession? You know what I love about them? They've always had incredible value. The history of the world tells me that in the future, I never have to stress about having value for myself and my family. If we have to purchase goods, services, my retirement, 401k, I've got one of those. Do you? Do you have precious metals as part of it to make sure it doesn't get wiped out? Let Oxford Gold handle all that. All you have to do is go to jessekellygold.com. That's your one-stop shop for everything. jessekellygold.com.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's continue to dig in here. The question was, okay, Democrats, guys like Obama, Biden, they run for president and they run down the middle and they sound so moderate and down the middle. And then when they get elected, they govern like the Chairman Mao commies they are. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do the same thing? Why can't we do the same thing? Here's the difference. If you're somebody on the right, I'm not going to say GOP because the GOP sucks, but if you're somebody on the right, you will demand certain things out of the people who want to represent you, and you don't accept being lied to by them. On the left, if you're a dirty, filthy communist, you are more than happy being lied to if it means your guy will win. So Barack Obama can get up there and he can say, hey, man, I think marriage is between a man and a woman. And the LGBTQ demon mob, they're still going to ride their pink feather boas down to the voting booth and vote for Barack Obama because they know in the end he's going to be on their side anyway. He's just lying. He's trying to win an election. The right doesn't operate that way. If you get somebody on the right who stands up and says, I think the southern border should be open. I don't have any problem with illegal immigration at all. Even if the right suspects he might just be trying to get elected, the right would never go vote for that guy ever in a million years. Now, why is all this? Why is this the case? Because for the communists, remember, victory is what really matters, and it's all that really matters. There is no how you conduct yourself or right or wrong. There's none of that at all. We're dealing with people who want to exterminate 6 billion human beings in order to, quote, save the planet. You're not dealing with people who believe anything is off the table in pursuit of your goals. They're much more accepting of a dirty liar in a primary process or an election process than the right is. And that's probably, in the end, a good thing. Dear fellow pilgrim, I find myself with a conundrum. I have a cushy, safe job, easy, relatively secure, with the idea to go to school for cybersecurity. The only problem is I don't make much money. I get by and live comfortably, but I want to afford the dream. House, wife, kids, designer dog. I've been looking at sales jobs recently and was curious with your experience leaping into the unknown with no parachute. Should I risk leaving a safe place, especially with the economy going the way it is, or dive headfirst into the unknown with no backup and let the big G guide me home? Thanks for the laughs. It's one of the few things keeping me from sliding into madness. If you read this on the air, you can say my name. His name is Matt. All right, so you have a dream. You want the house, wife, kids, and the designer dog. And you're obviously a young, single dude. Brother, take the chance. Take the chance. I'll just tell you this. In my life, I have told you this before. It's been a while. I'll tell you again. And I'm not saying that I'm right or all-knowing. We're a bunch of people a lot wiser than me listening right now. I have, for as long as I can remember, strived to live my life from my deathbed. I'm going to die one day. You are going to die one day. You are. And picturing that day, Lord willing, it's far from now, but picturing that day, you're laying in the hospice, surrounded by family and friends, maybe going through pictures or whatever, speaking about memories, going through your life, laying there at night, going through your life in your head as you know you're in your final days. Which one are you going to wish you'd done? Stayed with the safe job that's not really paying you anything and you can't even afford a wife or house or kids, or taking the big chance for the one you wanted? If you don't take the big chance, as a young single dude, you'll always wonder what might have been. Always. And I say this as somebody who has taken multiple huge chances. And look, you see this now. Like, you see this. We lucked out. We have this radio show we don't deserve, and we're blessed beyond measure. We have this huge national show and all this stuff now. That's what you see now. Most of my huge chances ended in horrific failure. Horrific failure. But by the time I was done running for office, I was broke, wiped out, bankrupt. The Marine Corps thing, that thing almost got me killed. Most of my risks didn't work. And I still look back on every single one of them, the horrible failures, and I say, gosh, that's freaking awesome. I can't believe I did that. Can't believe I tried it. What an adventure. What a life. If I died tonight, when God takes me home, I would thank him for the most amazing 42 years anybody ever had. Swing for the fences, brother. Take the big chance. 5 years from now, you might just find yourself sitting out back next to your dime, two or three kids running around the backyard, smiling to yourself that you did it. That you did it. Take the big chance. All right. Let's talk about our medical system. What is the deal with China and Taiwan? They've been getting ready forever. Why haven't they invaded? And Trump, what if he lost in 16? Would they have left him alone? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about preborn, too. Let's talk about life. Because things are way bigger and more important than politics. Life, culture. They're more important and bigger than politics. That baby that is growing in his mother's womb right now, that baby is everything, is it not? And that mother, she's young and she's scared and she doesn't know what she's doing and she thinks she's doing right or good or just trying to get by, and she's seeking out an ultrasound. And preborn is finding her and offering her a free ultrasound and care for that baby diapers and formula. And she needs substance abuse help, whatever she needs, 2 years of care. That's what your $28 does when you give it to preborn. Buys that ultrasound, buys a life, buys care. How blessed is that? Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Sponsored by Preborn.
Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Halfway done already. I'm sorry. It's already halfway over, but don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry at all. We're going to be here on Monday on Columbus Day doing some live radio. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes every day on this show.
Changing people's lives.
If Trump had lost in 2016, do you suspect that the communists would still be out to destroy him? That was the question. What if he had lost? What if Trump was never president? Well, did you hear what Hillary Clinton said? Hillary Clinton just came out and said this.
Those MAGA extremists take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
Okay. All right. There's an aspect to the destruction of Donald Trump, which they're busy completing as we speak, that we really haven't stopped and considered. But it is something that has hit me hard over the last few years. I was going to say year or two, over the last few years. As you watch injustice after injustice after injustice be heaped on Trump, ridiculous impeachments and now the trials, and as you watch all this ridiculousness, the FBI investigations, and something has hit me. All these articles I've read, all these different people, experts I've interviewed about this or that, one of the wildest things about it is how much of what's happened to Trump ties back to the Clinton world. So much of what's happened to Donald Trump has ties back to the Clinton world. Now, yes, today there are more aspects than that as it's snowballed and it's gotten way bigger. But here's something we forget. And this is something that is, it really is, it's hurting us so badly now. And it's something we have to change. I'm not sure how we're going to do that, but we have to begin. We have to acknowledge it and we have to change it. The Clintons, this began with the Clintons, and then Barack Obama did this, honestly, better than they did, but this began with the Clintons. The Clintons realized that government, because the Clintons weren't, well, pause for a second. The Clintons weren't necessarily full-blown commies. Hillary always was. Bill was just kind of a dirtball who wanted power. But they understood how power worked and how to use power. And they believed in using power. Let me tell you a little story. Story I can't. I'm going to have to cover up some names and stuff. But remember, the Clintons came from Arkansas. Bill Clinton got elected Democrat governor of Arkansas. Pretty good stuff, huh? Pretty impressive. Well, the Clintons were well known to be dirty, bare-knuckle boxers. Well before they ever walked into the White House, you and me, we just had never heard of them before. I know a guy. He got crossways with Bill Clinton in Arkansas when Bill Clinton was in office there. And this is actually pre-governor. Bill Clinton was doing other stuff then, but he was pre-governor. And this guy got crossways with Bill Clinton. As soon as he got crossways with Bill Clinton, the city garbage trucks would oftentimes be parked, one of them randomly, would be parked blocking my buddy's driveway so he couldn't leave his house or go to work. And he had no recourse because no matter who he called, they were people who had ties to the Clintons or were afraid of the Clintons. He couldn't even get a tow truck for obvious reasons to come tow the truck out of the way. There were multiple days he had to catch a cab or walk down to the bus stop to get to work on time because the Clintons had lined up a garbage truck parked in front of his house. The Clintons believed in using power. There are endless stories of how they did this. The IRS, we talk about Barack Obama and how Lois Lerner under Barack Obama attacked the right. The Clintons were doing that a long time before Barack Obama came sauntering in there. The Clintons were attacking government people in the government travel office who didn't do things that they liked. What I'm saying is Bill Clinton was president for 8 years. And then Hillary Clinton became United States Senator. We forget this chapter. Hillary Clinton was a United States Senator from New York, so that's her still in government. And then after that, under Obama, she's Secretary of State. That is a big boy position of power, Secretary of State. What I'm trying to say is the Clintons have spent 2 decades filling up every part of this government with people who are not only loyal to them, but they've spent 2 decades filling up this government with hatchet men who are more than willing to destroy anyone the Clintons want destroyed. Now, let's go back to the Trump question, because the question was, would the communists have left Trump alone if he'd lost in 2016? Oh my gosh, yes. So much. It's not all, not at all. But so much of the pain they've put Donald Trump through ties back to the fact that Hillary Clinton had lost the presidency to Barack Obama. Remember, she was the likely nominee. She was the presumptive nominee. And along comes this young, well-spoken hotshot, and he beats her in a primary. So there, boom, she didn't get to be president, thought she was entitled to it. Then she runs against Donald Trump. And she's so lazy and so entitled and so sure of herself that she did not step foot in Wisconsin. You can make the argument Wisconsin is the most important swing state in the United States of America when it comes to a presidential election. And while she was running to be president, Hillary didn't even visit. That's how confident she was that this whole thing is finally over and I finally get to be president the way I've been entitled to. And woo! Oh, I cannot wait. It's my right as a Clinton. And then that night happened. The night you remember like it was yesterday. I know you do because I do as well. I didn't even have a radio show then. I wasn't even doing politics back then. I was selling RVs back then. Donald Trump shocks the world in 2016. And beats Hillary Clinton on election night. That, for a woman with that much entitlement flowing through her, that was it. When you combine that and her immense power with the fact that Barack Obama just finished filling up the government for 8 years with the most radical communists we have ever seen in major positions of power, essentially, Donald Trump thought he was winning the presidency and he was going to be obviously different, but he was just going to walk in and be a Republican president. Oh, that hornet's nest was kicked long before he walked in the White House door. He just walked right into a swarm of it and never had a friggin' chance. When you combine that with the ignorant morons and scumbags he surrounds himself with, he never had a chance against these evil people. That's the truth.
Those MAGA extremists take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending him.
Yeah. Chris asked, was it this scummy before the Clintons? Well, politics has always been scummy, and American politics have been plenty scummy.
the Clintons took it to a whole new level. And then, to his credit, Obama one-upped them, and he took it to a whole new level. Our communists are, you know, getting smarter and stronger and bolder as we get more late stage. It's just the way it is. Anyway, my next one's about DEI training. Someone's going through DEI training at his corporation. You know where else they have DEI training? AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. All the employees get to gather up and they get to find out how evil America is, how much Whitey sucks and all that stuff. And you know who pays for that? You do. Every month when you pay your mobile bill, that's where your money goes. To all this endless filth. Or we could switch. You see, there's an incredible 5G network company out there where you'll save a fortune. And they don't have DEI meetings at Pure Talk. They have meetings talking about how they're going to help more veterans at Pure Talk. Their CEO is a veteran. And you're not even sacrificing coverage. There are no reasons not to switch. And I realize that's a double negative, but I went to community college. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Dear close shaved doesn't equal bald Jesse. I'm a hospital employee. Every year I must complete competencies and other HR nonsense to keep my job. This year they've slid in a DEI training, complete with making sure everything is equitable and how healthcare discriminates against minorities. An anti-communist coworker and I are actively refusing to complete the training. Question: should we continue to defy the training or complete it and continue our anti-communist mole operation? Well, let me ask you something. You are in Germany, 1943. You have been dropped behind enemy lines. Every institution there is hostile to you. You have found a way to get employment in one of those institutions. When they hand out the company forms, do you think you should just be really honest? I'm actually an American spy, guys. Or do you think you should operate as if you are a guerrilla? As if you are completely out of power? As if they have taken over the institutions and now you have to infiltrate and infect them the way they did ours? Remember this. Infiltration, it is a must for us now. Once we lost institutional power, which we have, we've lost all institutional power. What that means is we have to get it back. We have to have the institutions back. Who controls the institutions controls a nation. When you control a nation's education, entertainment, media, federal law enforcement, when you control these parts of a culture, when you control these institutions, you run the country. They run every part of the country. That sucks. They infiltrated and took over our institutions. Okay, fine. We got to take them back. We either give up or we take them back. You stay right where you are in your dirty commie hospital and you infiltrate that place and you do whatever good you can do. All right? All right. By the way, one more thing on the Trump stuff. Now that I think of it, another reason beyond the Hillary Clinton spreading her filth all through the government and all her evil through the government. Remember, another big reason they hated Trump was Trump messed with their money in ways other politicians have not. He wanted to rip up trade deals. He wanted to change foreign policy. Look, the foreign policy thing, don't ever dismiss that. Donald Trump's own generals disobeyed him and defied his orders. When Donald Trump told people, hey, move people, hey, get people out of there, it was just like, no, they just told him no. Our foreign policy is so broken and evil, yet entrenched, that we now have generals who will look at the commander-in-chief and just say no. That was a big part of it too. Jesse, I know it's not a popular subject currently, but why hasn't China taken Taiwan yet? I assume they would. Time is of the essence, so on and so forth. His name is Pat. Okay, here's why China hasn't done anything with Taiwan yet. You don't want to fight a bloody battle if you can avoid any bloodshed at all. Taiwan has elections. China, I know you're not going to find this shocking, on a regular basis infiltrates China, and they infiltrate their politics, and they get involved in their elections. We don't care about their elections. We have enough to worry about on our own. But Taiwan has a huge national election coming in January. The word I get is China is hoping to get an absurdly Chinese candidate taking over Taiwan politics, who will essentially just hand China the keys to the joint after the election, and they don't see any need to invade before that. Joe Biden's still going to be president after January. I've been told January. January, watch the Taiwan elections, then you'll know whether she's going to kick off or not. Jesse, I'm all of a sudden overloaded with fundraising texts since Tuesday. He said, I need some inside baseball. What does the McCarthy stuff have to do with fundraising? I can't believe I'm going to do what I'm about to do. And I know you're probably going to be mad at me for it. You know, before I get to this, before I get to that, let me do this really quickly. This is the time for you to begin your male vitality stack or female vitality stack journey with Chalk. Begin a subscription. And here's how I do it. Have you seen those pill things people lay out for themselves? Get a 7-day one of those. A male vitality stack is three things. Natural herbal supplements. Go ahead and load up your 7 every week. Give me 90 days with a male vitality stack flowing through your veins every day. And then you send me an email and tell me how you feel. The difference you're going to feel, staggering. 20% increase in your testosterone. That's beyond belief. The difference in your life. Chalk.com, CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. That gets you 35% off subscriptions. Get your 7-day pill thing, get your male vitality stack, and go to work. All right? All right. The fundraising texts from the congressmen, from the senators, from the everybody. The emails. Look at my speech on the House floor. Send me money. I'm going to defend scumbag dirtball politicians here for a moment. They do need to raise money. Money is a critically important part of politics. We want them to go back there and just do the job we sent them to do. We want them to go back there and fight for us and do all these things. Some of them want to do that. Most of them do not. All of them, however, want to be reelected. They don't want to go get real jobs. They want to stay in Congress, which I understand because having had a lifetime of real jobs and now I don't have a real job, this not having a real job thing completely works for me. I'm in a t-shirt right now. This is wonderful. Okay? That's what they want. They need to raise money. They struggle raising money unless they get people to care about something. Get someone to get emotionally invested, and then you can suck money out of them. That's how these people believe. That's how these people think. Once Kevin McCarthy got bounced, they understood that the right, the base of the right, for various reasons, was all fired up and emotionally invested. So that's why they start sending out emails and text messages and everything else. And lest you think I'm being nice to these guys, I wouldn't mind at all these fundraising pleas if they, A, actually delivered on their promises, which they never do, or B, if they didn't lie so much in those fundraising things. I hate how much they lie, and this is how they lie. You'll get some senator who's not even in the House. He'll send out an email, a fundraising email to everyone in his list. Let's get a conservative as the Speaker of the House. Donate $10 and help me do it today. When he doesn't even have a vote or anything to do with it. He has nothing to do with that. And even if he did, your $10 donation helps his reelection. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But that's what they all do. And you know what drives me most crazy about that? I can't stand it. I'll explain in a minute.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.